Okay, so we're here with another divine show, TJ. How are you today?
Great. I'm fabulous. I feel great. You know why that is? Because I'm in the presence of the great joy. That's why. How's that?
I'm telling you, you must really, really be on a roll today,
I think,
TJ.
I'm on a sesame seed bun. That's how good I am. Not just a roll, but a sesame seed bun. Sorry.
Okay. And we're in your greatness. And speaking of greatness, we have a wonderful energy worker with us today, Dottie Woodward. Hi, Dottie.
Hi, Joy. Hi, TJ.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello. I'm doing good. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Wonderful. Now, Dottie, I've known you for like a little bit now, right? A couple of years, 10 years or something, right?
I think it's more like 14, Joy.
Holy cow.
I know. Time goes fast.
That long. Yeah. Well, I'm really excited to introduce you to each other because I know you're both into Truth Wave and changing the world, and I'm really excited to have you on the show and be able to share your latest and greatest work with us. I'm wondering if you would kind of tell us a little about yourself. So as much as I know you, I know that our listeners don't, and TJ's meeting you the first time. So can you tell us a little about your history and what your life has been like and what you've been up to?
Oh my. Okay. I'm a wife, a mother, and a grandmother. And I started out, I was a stay-at-home mother until my three children went to school. And then I became an elementary teacher for 28 years. And for 15 years, I taught fourth grade. And for 13 years, I taught fifth grade. And during that time, I became part of the Teacher in the Space program with NASA. And I had been astronauts for 10 years. So I learned a lot about the space program and outer space. I was teaching science and reading, so astronomy, and was part of that. And I think looking back in those years, I really tried to form a bond between the science and the spiritual. So I knew I was going to retire, and I didn't want to sit around and do nothing. So I bought a boat, joined the Coast Guard Auxiliary. I'm still a lieutenant. I'm retiring from the Coast Guard. But in 2001, when I retired and joined the Coast Guard Auxiliary, right before that, I had an out-of-body experience in Greece, which shook me quite a bit, shook me right down to the roots. And so I came home and started to figure out what happened to me, because I had no words for it, and I still don't have any words for it, except that it knocked me for a loop for 3 days. I could hardly talk. All I did was cry. And I met that, Joy, that's when I met you in about 2001, and you were the one that talked to me and suggested I do a soul recognition with the Soul Support System team. And so I had a soul recognition, and then I had more soul recognitions. And I really, really became interested in the energy field. And I stayed with Soul Support Systems and became a soul recognition facilitator, working with helping people change their lives, because soul recognition just takes you on a whole different path and helps you know who you are and what you need to do in your life. And then I became a circuitry alignment facilitator with them and a heart thread facilitator with Soul Support Systems. And during that time, I really fell in love with working with the energy field and people's people's frequencies. And so I took a workshop on Reiki, and I learned Sakim Sakim Reiki. Then I decided I would do Asui Reiki. I became a master Reiki master teacher. I then went to England and learned Karuna Reiki with William Rand. That was really powerful. I was attuned inside Stonehenge, which I think, looking back over my life, that helped really open me up, because I saw things in Stonehenge and in Glastonbury that that are not in the physical realm. They're more in the etheric realm. And that was really exciting and different. And so then I came home and learned Radiance Reiki. And also, I really became enamored with the reconnection with Dr. Eric Pearl. So I did the three levels of the reconnection with him. And something that I've always wanted to do was still in the back of my mind. So I took the steps and became a certified clinical hypnotherapist. So that's kind of where I am right now, and what I've gathered through my walk through life.
But your story is very rich with experience, and there's so many things that you said that I feel our listeners would like to have more info on, and maybe TJ has some questions too. So, TJ, do you have a question?
Well, I probably do. One would think that would be the case, right?
I thought so.
So, Dottie, you said that you are a mother and a grandparent. How many children do you have?
I have three children, a daughter and two sons. And I'm a grandmother. I have two granddaughters and a grandson.
Now, did you always feel that you had some kind of special gift at some when you were younger? Did you feel
that?
No,
I got to tell you, DJ, I felt lost. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I didn't know who I was. I felt different. Actually, it was really hard for me because I just didn't fit in. I didn't fit in anywhere, but I tried. I tried really hard, and I think when I was 16, all the other girls were dating, and I was reading Shakespeare and Chaucer. I won the Shakespearean contest quite in forensics in the county forensic speaking. So, but that was I had no way of really fitting in and relating to people.
You know, I find also that a lot of people, myself included, and not necessarily everybody, but a lot of people that are on a journey that's maybe to bring light or change, we don't always fit in, you know, and it's the vibration. Part of it's the vibration, I think, too, is that we know not everybody else is on this vibration, you know. That's, the way to put it. And so I know I didn't fit in. My brother didn't. And I know, Joy, I don't know if you completely felt you fit in.
Are you kidding? I didn't even know there was an Earth till I was 33. I was like, grounding? What's that, you know? So I didn't even, I did try to fit in, but I thought it was an odd place.
Right. I think a lot of us have that in common, don't you think?
Sure, sure. But I think what's amazing, too, is like how Dottie, you know, how you kept pushing forward, you know, to discover yourself. I think along the way, you encountered so many rich experiences, you know, like this out-of-body experience. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, after I retired, I went, my sister gave me a gift of a trip to Greece with 30 Ohio University students that had learned Greek history, and so the professor took them to Greece for the rest of the course. And so I went with them, and we were traveling all through Greece for about 3 weeks. And we had got to Patras, and everyone was going into this Greek Byzantine cathedral. And I had let everybody go ahead of me. I was sitting on a bench outside in the piazza, and everybody went in, and finally I said, oh, I think I better go in. And so just as I put my foot over the door jamb of the church door, I don't know what happened, but I almost went into a grand mal seizure. I couldn't stop shaking. I couldn't stop sobbing. I was sobbing so loudly and shaking that I wanted to hide, and there was no place else to hide. In those churches, there's one altar in the front and a small altar on each side. And so what I tried to do was I tried to get myself into a corner. And there was a whole group of classroom children to my left having class or something. I don't know. They were studying. And so I bypassed them really quickly, and I went up to the front near the left altar, and I was sitting about two rows behind three children that were in front of me, and I just sat down. I tried to control myself because my actions were not voluntary. It was a voluntary action of shaking and sobbing, and I don't know where it was coming from, because it wasn't me. And apparently I scared the children in front of me. They quickly left. And so this went on for about 15 minutes, and finally I got control of myself, and I just kind of later on, I rested, and then I got up and I walked around, but I was in a daze. And it seemed like every time someone tried to, everybody was so busy with all of their other interests that nobody recognized that I was going through something. In fact, my sister, who went with me, didn't even realize it until about a year later when I told her. But I just stayed away from everybody, even though I was in the tour. So, but then when I came home, every time I would reach for a book, and it was a book I was supposed to read, my hands would vibrate like when you're holding an electric shaver. They would vibrate like that, and so I got the idea that the books that would, when my hands vibrate, those were the books I was supposed to read. And so I started reading those books, and those books led me on the path to the energy field, and I guess became such a part of me.
Wow. So when this happened, do you feel like maybe you were downloaded with an energy or like a connection opened for you that started to attune you and give you the sensitive signals?
I think you're right.
Yeah,
cause
that's pretty wild.
Everything I've read, it does not describe anything that I've gone through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Why do you think?
And then when you start, go ahead. TJ.
Why do you think it happened in that church? Why would it? Is that like you think there was an energy field of some sort there that would? You said Joy. You're saying she downloaded stuff. That has to be the region that she went to cause that to happen.
I don't know, TJ. I had been in quite a few Greek Byzantine churches, and it was in St. Andrew's Byzantine Greek church that happened, where he was crucified upside down.
Oh.
And I don't know if that was, but I know that I always thought, looking back on it, that, and I never thought of what Joy said, it was a transmission, but I know that what I felt was, it was the most purest love or energy that I've ever felt. I don't think that anybody ever felt in this world.
Wow. So that really was a pivotal point for you, huh?
Well, that, and also I think being at NASS, I think what really, really started me on my path is when I became part of the Teacher in Space program. And I was with Cape Canaveral, you know, and I was with Krista's friends. And for, I would say for 4 or 5 years, I traveled, you know, with the people from NASA. And so I was with the group that heard when the Voyager 2 space probe went past Venus and Uranus. I was there with the scientists, and so I think that had a lot to do with the beginning. And then, you know, looking back, being with NASA, and then the having the out-of-body experience in Greece, those two things, I think, were the main pivotal points in my life that really, really put me on my path.
Yeah, I can hear that. Now, as you went along, right, and I mean, I know, like I said, I know a lot about different things with you, but it's interesting because every time I hear you talk, I learn something new about you. But I think it's very interesting how you've combined the energy field, space, and that journey you went into with, like, getting involved with the healing, with Reiki, and can you share a little more about that? What was it specifically that called you to get involved with Reiki, per se?
I don't know. I felt really comfortable with it, and I was drawn to it. And I've heard other people's take on it that if you're called to do something, it's probably that you've been in that field in another life. And
yeah.
I really believe that probably in a different life, in a different time, I probably was a healer of some kind, like Reiki. And I feel really, and also the hypnosis, I feel really comfortable with that. And I know that they did hypnosis back in Egypt, and I know I've been getting past life views of myself. And so I really think that the Reiki and the hypnosis came from another past life.
Wow. So was it by that time, did you start to feel like you were starting to fit in?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you that when I actually, the space program is when I really started to feel that I fit in, because I know that I have been a teacher in other lives also. And to be able to teach the children that I had in my classroom about the space program when nobody else knew about it, that was in 1984, 85.
Wow.
Nobody knew about the space program and the shuttle, how it worked, and all the you know, ins and outs about the space program, because it was very quiet. They kept to themselves, and then all of a sudden the scientists started to think, whoa, we're not getting anybody to work in NASA, because none of the teachers were interesting children in the space program. And so that's when they did their Teacher in Space program. And boy, was I interested in it even before. In fact, I can tell you how they discovered me. I was out in the football field with my students. We were making paper airplanes, and we were flying paper airplanes for aerodynamics to see which paper airplanes could fly the farthest. And my superintendent was walking out of the building and saw us on the football field. He ended up staying for the whole afternoon in my class playing with paper airplanes and working with them. And he was very instrumental in getting me into the space, getting me an invitation to go to Cape Canaveral.
Wow. TJ, do you have a thing?
I sure do. And getting back to what you talked about, getting back to what you talked about with Stonehenge, because you've been there, the Stonehenge, right?
Yes, I have. I was attuned inside Stonehenge.
So with Stonehenge, did you get anything as far as why that was created and what do you think it was used for? I guess I'm curious as to what your perception of that is.
Okay, well, I can. We got attuned by William Rand. He's the head of the International Reiki Center, and as he was attuning me, I actually saw the symbols coming into my head in gold, fiery letters. They came into my crown, and then after it was over, we were allowed to have time to be there and just do whatever we wanted to do, as long as we weren't allowed to touch the stones, we weren't allowed to dig holes in the ground. And so I was just sitting on the ground with my hands on the ground, and all of a sudden I saw this, I saw the scene in front of me of these, they might have been like 800, 97 year or something, but they were there were men pulling carts with animals, and they had, you know, carts with big wheels, and the women were walking beside them, and they had aprons and long dark dresses on, and the children were laughing and playing and following the carts with the dogs, and everyone was really happy, because I not only saw it, but I felt everything that they were feeling. And so then all of a sudden that disappeared, like a cloud came over it. And then I saw bodies everywhere on the ground. They were mutilated, and there were Norsemen or Vikings standing around, just looking around at the bodies with their swords in their hands. And then as I saw that scene, it just slowly disappeared. And then I got this really loud voice that said, it wasn't loud, but it was very distinct, and it was very, it was more male energy, but it said, the earth holds the memory of all time, almost like it was explaining why I saw that. And so I know that the Druids did work there. I mean, I've read a lot of books on it, and the Druids did work there with the constellations and the star mapping and everything. But I have never, ever read any books where there was any kind of massacre or any kind of murders there at all. And what I saw in the beginning was almost like a ceremony, like people were going in there to have a beautiful time, and they were so happy, and then to see all the carnage that was there. So I can't tell you, TJ, that's all I saw.
Do you think, though, I guess what I'm asking, Dottie, is that it was designed, it's kind of a place of harmony in there because of, from what I understand of it, I've never been there, but the voice will echo off in a certain way, and it, like, creates a vibration. Is that accurate?
I don't know. I haven't. It's been a while since I read about Stonehenge. I probably read about Stonehenge at the very beginning of 2001 to 2004. I know the Druids used it, and I'm pretty sure that I read someplace that it was actually from other civilizations, mm-hmm. than even the 1100s or the 800s. But there's also places where you can line up for the solstice and the stars and the constellations.
Right. And it's also like an energy center. From what I understand, it's a spot you go in there and your voice, it rolls off the walls of those stones. They're placed in such a way, and it affects your vibration and perhaps raises it. So I just wondering if that was something that you felt when you went there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just at that point, I don't think I was, I was doing energy work, And it actually, no, I wasn't. Well, yeah, I was. It was probably about 2004 that I went there, or 2005. So I know that I wasn't as advanced in the energy field and feeling the frequencies of things as I am now. So maybe I wasn't aware of it.
Well, I'm always curious.
So you were in a learning curve. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Dottie, at that point, you said you got attuned in a Sui Reiki. Is that right?
At that point, no, Karuna. I had become a master teacher in a Sui and Sakim, and I was attuned by William Rand to Karuna. Yeah, it was Karuna Reiki that I learned there.
Okay, and was it from there that you started to be led into your journey with Starfire energy?
I think it's a evolution that I took, and I think looking back on it, even when I was a fourth grade, fifth grade teacher, I remember it was a rainy day, and we had finished studying about some of the stars and constellations, and somebody asked me, for some reason, I don't know why anymore, somebody asked me where we came from, and for no reason at all, without thinking about it, I said, we came from Mars, and we destroyed Mars, and then we came here, and
interesting.
Yeah, and you know what, and I never understood where that answer came from, because I don't think it was me. And then the more I thought about it, I think it could have been channeled. But then I read The Secret of this, what was it, Trimbalo Melchizedek's the Flower of Life book.
Yeah.
And that's what I was so shocked to hear that. Later on, that they really do think we came from Mars. But I knew all along that there was water on Mars, even when they were trying to prove it. So I think even back then, there were some parts of me that were channeling, that really knew. And as I opened up more and more, it just started to come in more and more.
Okay, so as you evolved, right, you eventually came into the experience with Starfire energy. Can you tell us about that?
How it came in or what it is?
Why don't you start there? How did it come in?
Okay. All right. Well, I went to North Carolina to Soul Support their property that they bought in North Carolina. And I think it was last year, the beginning of last year. And I was just being my own normal self, and I walked on the land. I was ahead of everybody else because we came in a group, and there was a whole forest of some kind of poles, like bamboo. It was a bamboo forest. And I was walking past it, and all of a sudden I saw all these little elementals peeping out at me. And it's like all of a sudden I said, oh, okay, all right, now I'm seeing elementals. And they were so cute, and I just waved at them, and I went on. And at that time, that's a very there's three vortexes on that property. So...
Mm-hmm.
I started, that was when I saw the Indians on the horses standing there looking out over the land. And then I started hearing voices. And I think that's when I really started opening. And then I went to Massachusetts and was working with Soul Support Systems doing soul recognitions. And one of the women said, well, I know you channel. she said, why don't you channel for this woman? So it was new to me, and so I said, well, instead of talking, can I just write it down? So, and I couldn't write fast enough, so I did it the best I could, and then it just seemed like it developed. It kept developing more and more, and I kept opening more and more. And then all of a sudden, I realized that I was in a three-way conversation when I was talking to people, especially I remember doing a hypnosis session, and I was doing an intake for this person, and the person wanted to know what would be best. And all of a sudden, I saw this whole shelf of cereal boxes, and I heard the words, hey, pick one out. Like they were showing me how to tell the woman that she had many choices that would do the same thing. All she had to do was pick one out. So
wow, that's cool.
And so now I have, a lot of times I have like a three-way conversation that I'm doing when I'm talking to people, and I'm hearing things.
Okay, hearing things. You're in our world, right, TJ?
Sorry, I'm talking to two other people right now while we're doing this. Yes, thank you. No, not tonight, though, but maybe later. Oh, sorry.
He is. Absolutely. So during this time when this was happening, was this how the Starfire energy started to open for you?
Yes. What happened was I was teaching Reiki to a group of people, and I had finished their last session. They became Reiki master teachers, and the energy was so high. And I came home, and that night I feel that it was a transmission. I got a transmission with so much information. And the energy was just so high. And I have to tell you that I knew at that point that I was told that I would be bringing in Starfire energies, and it would be a higher vibration than Reiki. And so right away I realized that is what I came for. And after that came in probably in March. And what I had seen on the computer was William Rand had brought in Holy Fire Reiki in January. And what they had told me, the voices told me, and I found out the voices are the Galactic Federation and the Star Nation.
Yeah.
And what they had told me was that the energy that William Rand had brought in and the Starfire Reiki that I had brought in, they are together helping. And they told me there's going to be other energies that are new energies that are being brought in to actually help the planet and to help the people to move to a higher evolution.
Okay, when you say move to a higher evolution, can you specify, are you talking about the fifth dimension? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
At this point, the whole planet and everything on it is going through a higher evolution. It's a dimensional shift into a new level of consciousness. And the shift is going to happen. It's already happening. I can see so much, and I'm sure I have so many people saying, I feel there's something happening. I know that there's something going on. The entire planet and everything, everyone, is starting to experience a transition. And so
yeah.
I was told that the Starfire energy that I'm bringing in and all the other new energies that are coming in will help people evolve easier into a new dimension, which we have to do it, or we're going to be left behind.
Yeah, yeah. that's very important, you know, that what you're bringing through, what I'm hearing, it's the grace that's making the evolution with more ease. It's making it easier.
Right, and what Starfire does, it is a very it's very gentle and it's very calming, and it goes into a person's energy field very gently, and it very gently and slowly evolves and wakes up the starlights inside the person's DNA, and they call it the 144 points of light within the person. And that opens up and helps a person to also come to a higher point. But it also connects to the 144 crystalline points on the Earth's grid.
The Earth's grid. Yeah, that's beautiful. So what happens is it's a pathway where people can ascend with the Earth then.
Right. And
right?
Also, all of our senses, they work separately. And so what happens is Starfire amplifies all of your five senses in a physical form, and it synthesizes them and upgrades them, and so that it connects them interdimensionally and assists you to be in the different dimensions. And it's not like Shazam and you get it, you know. It's not like a really big push. It keeps your physical form balanced, but it anchored in one thing. The really important thing that they kept telling me was that people have to be anchored into the center of the Earth. And the thing, and I was listening, TJ, to another program that you were doing before, and you were talking about grounding. And what I discovered is the fact that our shoes aren't made like they used to be made. Hmm. People used to have a lot of leather on their shoes, and it was so much easier to ground, because the frequency could go through the leather. But now we have rubber and plastic, and the frequencies, it's so much harder to ground now. So it's much easier or better for you if you can take your shoes off and ground, you know, ground without your shoes on.
Wow, that's really interesting.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really believe that. When I ground, especially in the winter, I always feel, take your shoes off so I can literally feel the earth. Mm-hmm. That's so true, what you said. And it's something that's so subtle, people wouldn't think of it. You know, it's interesting now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will also say, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, Starfire, all the other energies, they connect, your horror line connects your chakras the whole way down. And so what Starfire does is, the word fire means purifying all that's blocked, and Starfire purifies all of your horror line, not just part of it, like the older energies did.
Okay. What were you going to say, TJ?
I was just going to say what you're mentioning, Dottie, as far as the, you know, people listening to this, hear you mention the Galactic Federation, and we haven't really talked about that too much, Joy, I don't think, on your program, but many...
Well, we did. We had this, on yours, we did the Syrian Council.
Right. So,
yeah.
Go ahead. I just wanted to say that that is totally spot on with what I've been researching and hearing and feeling, that there is this federation of beings that are working, but they're very gentle and they don't stick their nose in, you know, it's always done in a very gentle way. So spot on there, Dottie. Also, when you talked about the 144 crystalline grid, I've heard many references to that. And I don't know if you're familiar with James Tiberin, who is a channeler. James Tiberin?
No, I've never heard of him.
He channels the Archangel Metatron, And Metatron, basically what you said was exactly the same. So it's kind of cool to line those two things up. You're saying something that's been already said as well.
Well, I know, and they've told me that that planet Earth, it has been planned to be like, it's so different than any other planet. And so we have friends in the universe that are coming to help us evolve, and they're also coming to watch and see and do anything they can to help, because what this Earth in the beginning was supposed to be almost like a stopping off place for other planetary beings to come and visit and enjoy, because it is so different than all the other planets in the cosmos. And so they're out there watching us, trying to help us. And any way that they can, even though we have free will on this planet, and we, you know, it's up to us how we want to evolve, but they are so willing to give us advice and help us any way that they can.
Right, and we kind of dug
that's
this...
beautiful.
I'm sorry.
But I was just... That's all right. I know our phone lines are a little fooey, but I just wanted to say, I love the idea of Gaia being a vacation spot for these beings, you know? It's paradise.
Mm. Absolutely.
So what were you going to say, TJ?
I was just going to say, you know, again, we get back to where we're talking about Earth has been, it was initially intended to be one thing, and it's become this duality experiment. And it's really, we kind of dug, or at least many of us that maybe have been here before, dug this kind of hole to begin with. And, you know, all things are allowed to be. So now we're coming into this shift of consciousness. And do you see that's what's happening, Dottie, that we kind of dug this hole to begin with, and now we're trying to dig out of it?
Yes, yes, and we can. We've come closer to doing this than we ever did before. Apparently, from what I've read, three different times we tried to evolve and didn't. And so now this is from what all the masters and the Mayans and all the other ancient peoples have called this the shift that we are going to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And how can Starfire help that? With I know you said it will give people access in the fifth dimension, but how do you see this playing a role in the future for the evolution of our planet in other ways?
Okay, well, first of all, I was told by the Galactic Federation and the Council that it is urgent that now we really have to pump up our speed, so to speak. And what happens is you get a transmission. They showed me, or they gave me advice on, I had to do it myself, but they gave me advice on how I could do it. And so it's called a transmission because I didn't want it to get mixed up with Reiki, because it is not Reiki, it's a higher energy. And what happens is it goes into your energy field, and it very slowly helps you to evolve, and you become more knowing. You know who's going to be on the phone when it rings. The colors that you see are so much more vivid. It's more of a knowing, because right now all of our senses are so separate, and you see and you hear, and it's a lower development. And so Starfire brings you up into this. There's more joy, there's less judgment, there's more love. It seems like your whole system opens up. And when you get the transmission, the one thing is that you have to lay down, because it makes you dizzy a little bit because it goes in there right away and starts gently bringing you up to a new level of frequency.
You know, I experienced this when we were in Virginia Beach about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And as you know, I came in seeing clairvoyantly and all that kind of stuff. And I've had different work done over the years. And I'm very selective about where I go and what I experience. But I had this work done, and it was amazing to me the depth of where I went to energetically. And I have felt this continual wave of happiness, kind of like wherever I'm at or whatever's going on. Not like I don't get mad at the telephone when it doesn't work and want to throw it out the window, but I laugh when I'm saying it, you know. I've noticed that. I've noticed some amazing things with my interactions with people, how I've always tried to lead from my heart, but there's been more of a sense of softening even more and feeling that deep sense of oneness no matter who I'm with. Like with some people, you struggle or you would go to that place of, oh, yeah, I have to really remember we're all one despite they're acting like whatever. And what I'm noticing is the people that have acted out are literally starting to shift when they're with me, around me, which is amazing because I am talking for this past week. There have been some really openings with miracles happening with people that I have waited for like 35 years for them to open, and I'm seeing that happen. And I have a feeling it's linked to this vibration and holding this vibration and walking with it and integrating it. And I really want to thank you for bringing this through and honoring you. And I'd like to know, can anyone get this work done?
Well, I have some people that I have taught how to give the transmission.
Here.
One of them.
I've been trained.
And so I'm getting ready to put that on my website. And they were from Soul Support Systems, so mm-hmm. They were from all different parts of the planet, United States. There's Chris in Colorado. There's Jackie in California. There's Jeanne in Delaware. And Annapolis is Susan. So we have people that are cover a lot of the United States to be able to do Starfire. I just brought Starfire in, channeled it in March, and so it's a new energy, and we have to get it on the road. So that's what's mm-hmm. happening. So
How do you see this going out? You know, what's your vision of it for the future?
I want to see everybody star-fired. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how low your frequency is. If mm-hmm. you can give the anyone can have the star-fire frequency mm-hmm. because it goes in there gently, and it just mm-hmm. gently brings you up to the higher vibration. Into a power and a wisdom and an unconditional love, connecting you to a higher level of consciousness. But it does it gently and easily. And so it doesn't
wonderful.
Matter who it is. Anybody can have star fire.
How long does the process normally take? How long does it take, Donnie?
Well, I'm a Reiki master teacher, and Reiki usually takes you anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And because I do a guided meditation with the Starfire, it usually takes like an hour and a half for the guided meditation. And I was told that by the Galactic Council that the guided meditation is really important because there's an entrainment there, and so Yeah, so that's, I think I can safely say about an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah, about the length of a Reiki session. But the one thing that people have to know, and I don't care if you do Reiki, I don't care if you do Starfire, I have been told so often by them that you have to ground. You have to ground. There's so many people here that aren't grounded, and they go into fear. And what you have to do is ground and hold your space, and that will help you be calm. Because there are so many things that are coming up that we have to look at. And you have to, even yourself, there are things about yourself, I don't care if they're bad, I don't care if they're good, you have to look at all the pieces of yourself, because that's how we will attain oneness in the end. If you gather all the pieces of yourself and everyone gathers all the pieces of their self, then we can help the planet evolve too.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, that we evolve as one, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, Dottie, is there anything you want to add for our listeners or anything you want to share that we didn't cover?
I don't think so. I just want to say that I'm very honored to and thank you to be part of your program, and I'm very glad to meet TJ finally.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And really, what a fascinating interview, because these are things that I've heard again and again, and we finally got to address this. So this is really cool. To me, it's really cool.
Yeah. And it was an honor and so interesting, Dottie. You are truly a goddess, you know?
Thank you, Joy.
You're welcome. So let me give out your website address, okay? If you want to know more, you go to starfireenergies.com. That's StarfireEnergies.com. And Dottie's email address is altair@aol.com. That's altair4477@aol.com. And again, I want to thank you, Dottie, for coming on and sharing yourself and your gift with the world. And I truly honor you and your path. And it's lovely to see you evolve and bring the rest of us with you as you go. And TJ, my brother, thank you. You are truly part of my soul.
Thank you, too.
So, is there anything anybody wants to say? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
We're good.
So thank
you,
listeners.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yes, and thanks to our listeners. Without you, our show wouldn't continue, so if you like what you're hearing, please don't be shy. Pass the word on and help us build this wave, okay? Many blessings.